Blog Talk Radio.
Kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 52 degrees and cloudy in San Diego, California. Time is 8:04 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm sorry, people. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. Stokers and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We talk a lot about the NFL because this is a football talk show, but we do cover NBA, NHL scores, NCAA men's and women's scores. And we talk a lot about NCAA football as well. If you'd like to call into the show, call in the area code 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call into the show and debate the host or correct the host about anything he's covering, call in the 515-602-9687. We cover horse racing, dog racing, hot dog eating contests, camel racing, dog racing, water polo, UFC, boxing, WWE. Mud wrestling, whatever comes across the monitor as a sport, we cover it and we'll talk about it. If you have a sport that you want to talk to us about that we don't know much about, you can call in and teach us about it. And if you don't know much about the sports that we're talking about, you can call in and we'll teach you about it. When you call in to the guest line, just call in and put your hand up in queue and we'll come to you and just announce your first and last initial and the state that you're calling from. First and last initial and the state that you're calling from, because we like to keep everybody on the Stokers and Beer Radio so discreet. With that being said, today's topic is NFL Week 18 Action Recap and Playoff Season. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NFL playoff seeding and predictions for this weekend, NCAA football, NCAA men's and women's basketball, and scores from NBA and NHL action. All right, then now that we got that said, again, if you'd like to call in and debate the host or correct the host on anything that I may have made an error on, call in error code 515-602-9687. Once again, 515-602-9687. All right. Let's get off into it, people. I want to say a big shout out to the Division I FCS champions, South Dakota University FCS championships. If I'm correct, it is South Dakota University, not South Dakota State. It's South Dakota University, the Jackrabbits, but it's their first Division I FCS championship. They are the Division I FCS playoff championship champions this year. Division I FCS playoff champions, South Dakota University Jackrabbits. I want to say a big shout out to them. And if I'm messing up, guys, I'll correct it. Hopefully before I get off the show, I don't believe it's South Dakota State, because I think South Dakota State might be like the Wildcats or Bobcats or something like that. But I'm talking about the gentlemen in the blue and white, if I'm correct, blue, white, and gold, something like that, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. They defeated the North Dakota State, I'm sorry, South Dakota University, South Dakota University, SDU, South Dakota University Jackrabbits, who defeated the North Dakota State Bison. They defeated the North Dakota State Bison. And if you know the North Dakota State Bison. If you are familiar with them and the products that they put out, we're talking about Carson Wentz. We're talking about Trey Lance. We're talking about Easton Stick. We're talking about doggone North Dakota State University, which are the FCS Division I football gods. They weren't the only FCS teams that can actually step up and challenge teams in the Pac-12, whatever they are now. They can step up and challenge them. They gave Arizona University, Arizona Wildcats, they gave them a run for their money. I've seen this team beat Iowa University before, the Hawkeyes. So North Dakota State Bison, they're no joke. They have stepped up and beat teams like Kentucky. They've stepped up and beat in the SEC. They stepped up and beat teams in the Big Ten, like Iowa University, the Hawkeyes. I've seen them beat them. I've seen them beat Arizona State this year. They didn't win the game, not Arizona State, but Arizona University Wildcats. I hate the way these colleges are. One is a university, one is a state university. It just aggravates me when I'm trying to cover news. But anyway, I've seen North Dakota State Bison step up and step up and compete and almost won a game this year against the Arizona University Wildcats. North Dakota State gave the Arizona University Wildcats a run for their money. However, Arizona University is really a basketball school, in my opinion, but they do have a Pac-10 football team. But anyway, North Dakota State is a hard task to overcome, and SDU, South Dakota University, Jackrabbits, did overcome that task. I believe they won 45-21 in a very competitive ball game. But it was just SDU Jackrabbits. It was their year. It was their year. It was their turn. And I'm happy for them. Although in my heart, I was thinking that that North Dakota State Bisons would have won it as usual, but that didn't happen. SDU had other plans. The SDU Jackrabbits came out there and hopped all over their Bison and took their first FCS Division I title. So congratulations again to South Dakota University SDU Jackrabbits on a big win this weekend, winning the Division I FCS Championship. Speaking of the Division I FCS Championship, this was the first time that I can ever remember since I've really been watching football and watching college football in depth. This is the first time that I had never seen the FCS championship played on TV. I know they had a lot of NFL stuff on. I get that, but this is the first time that I have never seen the FCS championship for football played on TV, and those guys deserve to be on TV because it's a very entertaining game, and it's a game that I really like watching. Just like in men's and women's basketball, when the tournament comes, when the playoff tournament comes, it's all over the TV. This year, they put the FCS football championship on an app, ESPN Plus app. Come on, people. Stop it. Stop it. No one should have to subscribe to watch the FCS championship. Those guys fought hard to make it to that level. And we're sitting here, we all sat back and allowed ESPN to put that on an app. I don't even understand it. I don't know why the NCAA did it. I don't know why ESPN did it. And I don't know why we as consumers of the product of football allowed it either. That game should have been played on TV. Those young men, most of those young men may never even play a pro snap. Let's be honest. We're talking about guys playing at South Dakota University, guys that play up in North Dakota State. The only reason why North Dakota State gets guys in the NFL and able to play on Sunday like they do is because the product. They put out a very good, solid product, like I said. That college team steps up from the FCS level, compete against any program in the country. They will compete against them. They may not win, but they will compete. When I say compete, they will make some guys nervous. They'll make some guys nervous. I don't care if you're Alabama, Georgia, I don't care who you are. You can at least pencil their men to come in and put up against those teams, still about 28 points on the board. They're going to find a way to score. So, I don't care if you're Alabama, TCU, Georgia, whoever. That's why a lot of teams don't schedule them. A lot of teams won't schedule them. You know, I don't see them scheduling them for homecoming. They might schedule somebody like FCS team like Grambling, Southern, Mississippi Valley State, you know, a HBCU school. You might schedule them for a homecoming game, but you ain't scheduling FCS North Dakota State Bison for no homecoming game, and you definitely ain't stepping up today as of today scheduling SDU, South Dakota University Jackrabbits, who are the FCS Division One champions in football. You ain't scheduling them for no easy out homecoming game. But the reason why I'm upset and I'm taking the time to comment on this here and say that we all let those young men down, including myself, but I should have been blasting something on the airwaves. But I don't think I found out that they were playing that game until on the ESPN Plus until late, I mean, till this weekend when the game was coming on. Because I seen that the game was going to be on ESPN, but I didn't notice they were saying ESPN Plus. That game should have easily been on the regular airwaves. They had college basketball on. They couldn't, y'all couldn't reschedule or push back a college basketball game, put them on the ESPN Plus app, and go ahead and let the guys play the Division One football championship. Major fail, major letdown. That was terrible. And I think I want to reach out to the coaches and ask why that was at both of those schools, you know, at some point. I'm going to want to reach out and just ask them why didn't they play. But anyway, it's all said and done. Really, it's just about the networks. ESPN, I really feel like you guys let down those young men, because most of those young men that play at the FCS level, they don't get to go to the NFL. Let's be honest, folks. The NFL players come from the Power Five conferences, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, SEC, Pac-10. That's where the players come from in the NFL. Those five conferences I just mentioned are the minor league for the NFL. That's why the NFL doesn't worry about having a minor league football system. They could care less. Now, they may pull players now that the XFL is around and the USFL. The USFL had a good quality product last year, so that like about 60 guys went into camps, and a good little bit of those stuck. I mean, if you get 60 guys and about 10 guys stick out of 60 to some NFL practice squads or 53-man rosters, you know, that's pretty good. You know, 60 guys go to camp, 10 of them stick to camps. It's just hard to make it in the NFL. But the NFL set Power Five schools as their minor league system. So it just the FCS football championship this weekend was done a disservice, because those guys didn't get to play their last game, the championship game, on TV. They had the playoff games. They had the playoff games up to a certain point on TV. But why didn't you put the championship game on TV? That makes no sense. And then they're saying, oh, well, you know, I guess what they're saying is we had a lot of NFL stuff going on, but you also had a lot of basketball stuff going on as well. Why was basketball, which we still got so many more games up until March Madness, you guys didn't even put the FCS championship in football on TV? That's terrible. Epic fail, ESPN. I'm going to have to call you out on that. Anyway, as I said, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today is NFL Week 18 action recap and playoff seeding. And I'm just basically, you know, going to be going over some stuff coming across the monitor regarding this weekend's playoff action that's coming up. Right now, they got Dak versus Brady. Cowboys -3 at the Bucks. Cowboys -3 at the Bucks next Monday, 8:15 Eastern. Next Monday, 8:15 Eastern. Brady faces Dak as the Bucks host Cowboys in Week 1 rematch. Early outlook on the Cowboys-Bucks playoff matchup. I got it's a hard one to call. In my heart, I'm going to go with Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's been playing, you know, some good ball as of late. He's been showing he still can throw the ball downfield. But that defense of the Cowboys, it seems to me that whoever gets the ball, that's one of them games, whoever gets the ball last. And God forbid that Tom Brady gets the ball last, because if Tom Brady gets the ball last, guess what? He knows what to do with a short amount of time. He knows what to do with a short amount of time. So, you know, when it all comes down to it, if Tom Brady has that ball with about a 2-minute warning, and it's a tight game, like I'm talking about a one-score game, Tom Brady ain't, Dak Prescott ain't getting that ball back. If Tom, mark my words, people, if Tom Brady has that ball at the 2-minute warning, or somewhere around about the 2-minute warning, he's gonna milk that clock out, and if he and he's gonna make it, he's gonna tie that game up, or he's gonna go up ahead, and he's not gonna give Dak Prescott a whole lot of time to work with, coming back on the field trying to score again. He's not gonna give him that time, and Dak Prescott is not the type of player that's a comeback player. Like, oh, okay, in most cases, I'm gonna drive 80, 90 yards downfield. That's Tom Brady. That's not Dak Prescott. So if I had to put my money on it, I'm going to have to go with the great one. Because Dallas is not looking that great. Dallas didn't look that great yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Dallas didn't look good at all yesterday. So I really don't see the Cowboys advancing in the playoffs. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm not saying it will happen because they didn't look good yesterday. The Bucs didn't play a great game yesterday either. They dropped one to the Falcons. They dropped one to the Falcons, but this was a game to where Tom Brady, if I'm correct, because he's the division leader, they weren't going to lose their spot. They was always going to be in their fourth spot as a division leader. But Tom wanted to get out there, and he wanted to be ready. He wanted to keep his rhythm. And, you know, the Falcons and the Bucs, they play each other tough every time. It's a tough out in the NFC South. The Falcons didn't have anything to play for, so they were just like trying to get a win in front of their fans and knock off Tom Brady before he goes into the playoffs, and just so they can have something to hang their hat on going into the offseason. I get it. Do I believe Tom came out there to play his best? Sure, sure. I believe Tom came out there to play his best, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, those dirty birds, those Atlanta Falcons, they wanted to get a win in last game of the season, and I think they're last place, right behind my New Orleans Saints. They're last place in the NFC South, you know, going into the end of the year. So they pulled it off against the Bucs yesterday. So the Bucs, they didn't have the greatest game. They only put up 13 points, if I'm correct. But you know, at the end of the day, who cares? It's still Tom Brady. That game didn't count. Tom Brady is going to show up. He still has his rhythm. That's why he said he's going to play, I believe. He wanted to make sure that he played in that game because he wanted to keep his rhythm. He wanted to keep his edge. He didn't want to be sitting down and then come in cold next Monday. He got plenty of time to rest because he's not playing until next Monday. He can just kick back and rehab and study. And I'm going to tell you something. Dallas Cowboys, you Dallas Cowboy fans out there, all my pro armchair quarterbacks out there, the Dallas Cowboy fans, I'm going to tell you right now, Dak better be ready. And I like Dak. I like Dak. I like Zeke. I like CeeDee Lamb. I like all them guys. I like Pollard. I like the team. I like Dallas. I like the fact that Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl up under his belt and been to the Super Bowl twice, I believe. I like Dallas. But I just don't like the odds against the great one. I don't like the odds against the great one. Because when the great one says no, most of the time it's no. Speaking of saying no, I'm just going to kind of like go around the playoff picture and talk about people that's saying no. And at the same time, I want to say happy holiday today. Happy NFL football holiday day. Happy Black Friday. It's happy Black Friday today. You know what that means? It's some coaches that got fired. I think they already fired one coach. Unfortunately, Lovie Smith, unfortunately, they let an African-American coach go. It ain't that many of them. But, you know, I'm not trying to make it into a racial bias thing, but, I mean, the team wasn't winning, but at the same time, we don't have that many African-American head coaches out there. So them letting Lovie go this morning, if I'm correct, I seen something on my social media page. They said, thank you, Lovie, for everything or whatever. It sounds like to me that they're not saying thank you for a season because the season, they were terrible. They done some good things, done some games, hung around with some people, but they couldn't win. So somebody saw saying on Black Monday, this is Black Monday, people. This is the NFL holiday, Black Monday, happy holiday. And to all the coaches, that's going to get fired today. And I believe, like I said, Lovie Smith with the Houston Texans is the first one. Unfortunately, good luck. Good luck in your future endeavors. But, you know, I kind of like this day for whatever reason. I don't know. I just kind of – I ain't trying to be – funny that somebody lost their job, but I mean, they get paid handsomely. They get paid the king's ransom to coach in the NFL. I mean, Lovie Smith ain't hurting for no money. He'll go ahead on and go back either coaching college, or he'll go get another NFL job as an assistant, because we're talking about a man that won the Super Bowl. I mean, not won the Super Bowl, but he played in the only Super Bowl that featured two African-American head coaches, and that's against Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith. So Lovie's been to the Super Bowl. Do I think he should have got fired personally? No. The man, anytime you got a Super Bowl contender on your team, you know, I don't think that you should let a guy like that go. But it's business. It's the numbers. It's the math. It's the politics. It's all these different things that make up a organization. And an NFL franchise is no different than any other corporate America organization. You know, there's no difference. It's all about the bottom line. Money. Why are we paying this guy if he can't deliver a championship? Then a lot of times you got billionaire owners that might have had a bad week in the stock market with their regular companies. So a lot of these owners, they own football teams as a novelty item. They don't have to own a football team. They just want to own a football team as a novelty item. Something that they do for fun, like Jerry Jones. A lot of people think Jerry Jones is sitting up all day talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones produces oil. He produces Texas oil. Man owns oil wells, that type of stuff. So he's trading barrels of oil all day. Imagine the old school show Dallas with JR, Jock Ewing, JR Ewing, Bobby Ewing. If you I might be telling my age a little bit about Dallas, although they did have a reboot in the late 2000s. Well, right in the, let's say 2008 up until like about maybe 2012, they done a Dallas reboot. And I think JR was on there in his final days. Larry Hagman is his real name, was on there in his final days of his life until he died, I think, of liver disease. But I think Larry Hagman, JR Ewing, better known as, was an alcoholic, and I think he died from liver disease. But however, he did return to the show, and he died on that show as JR Ewing. But the point I'm making is that NFL franchises are no different than any other franchise in corporate America. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about production. And some of these owners, like the owner for the Houston Texans, Mr. McNair. I think his last name is McNair, if I'm correct. And I'm like this here. He probably had a bad day in the oil business or whatever business that he's in. Stocks went down, money got lost, and he probably woke up this morning and said, fire Lovie Smith. Fire him. I'm in a bad mood. Fire him. We ain't winning. We ain't winning the championships. Go ahead, fire him. I don't care about the number of African-American coaches we got. I don't care about Lovie going to the Super Bowl before. Fire him. Get him out of there. That's what Black Monday is all about, people. They're calling for people's heads. And Lovie Smith, I see, is the first person, I believe, that looked like he's gone. Based on social media, that's what it's looking like to me. But I'm gonna confirm. I'll put it like this, it's not confirmed yet. I just seen something on social media where they were saying the fans are saying goodbye to Coach Smith. Thank you for everything. So that kind of like alludes to me that he must have got fired or is about to get fired. But speaking of the great ones, not the great ones, but just talking about the playoff action this weekend. Let's start with the AFC first. It was just a lot of interesting things that came on. And one of my number one sports contributors is supposed to be calling into the show, and we'll get off into this a little bit more because he likes to talk all things Baltimore Ravens. And as far as the NBA goes, he likes to talk about all things New York Knicks. And so we'll grill him a little bit about both situations, but definitely about this NFL playoff seeding with the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to be in a wild card game. They're going to be in a wild card game, and they're going to be on the road. They won't host a home game. They'll be on the road this time. So With that being said, this weekend in the AFC playoff picture, you had Tua Tagovailoa was out for the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa was out for the Dolphins, and the backup quarterback steps in, and they actually won their game. The Dolphins won their game against the Jets. Dolphins beat the Jets. Low scoring game, I think maybe 13-6, something like that. Low scoring game. But the thing that gets me is that all they had to do was lose that game, and Pittsburgh could have got in. Then you had the Patriots on the other side of that playing against the Bills, which was a tough task. They was hanging in there with the Bills, but they lost. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though they won their game against the Cleveland Browns, they won the game against the Browns, but because the Dolphins wouldn't fall, all the Pittsburgh Steelers had to do was win, and one of those teams, the Patriots or the Dolphins, lose. The Dolphins, they won a low scoring affair in New York against the Jets, and then the New England Patriots, they couldn't overcome special teams letting the guy run back two freaking touchdowns in one game. Number 20 for the Bills ran back two touchdowns in one freaking game, and you know, so special teams let New England down and killed their playoff chances. But at the same time, both of those situations bumped out Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, they can hang their hat on a 9-win season, meaning they're one game above 500. I mean, if that's considered a winning season. They didn't finish 500 or below. They finished above 500. So they look at that as a winning season. Yeah, by one game. Okay, you know, no knock against my man Mike Tomlin, but I know Mike Tomlin is a lot better than a 9-win season. This is a Super Bowl contender. This man had Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, come on. This man ain't had nothing but stars on his team. So a 9-win season, trying to hang your hat on that, I don't really think that that's, I don't think that that's definitely, I feel like that's not coach's ultimate goal, is to be a 1-win over 500 team. But the doggone Dolphins said no. The Dolphins basically said no because they won their game. Pittsburgh won and the Dolphins won, but the Dolphins said, no, Pittsburgh, you're not going. You're not getting that wild card spot. You're not getting that wild card spot. We're going to get it. We're going to hang around and wait for our guy, Tua Tagovailoa, to come back. We're going to wait for Tua Tagovailoa. He's going to show back up. He's going to do what he needs to do. And get us a playoff win. We're gonna hang around long enough for Tua to get healthy, and I believe Tua will be back for the playoffs. Do I think he should be in that game? No, I think maybe if they win one, you can maybe try to give him his helmet back on the in the divisional rounds, not the first game. It's just because there's no point in putting them out there if you can't get past the first round. There's no point in putting them out there. And I don't think the Dolphins are really going to get past the first round for whatever reason. I think that if you're going to play Tua, you play him in the divisional, not the wild card weekend. You play him in the divisional. You know, I wouldn't give him his helmet back at all. I think Tua's playing days really should be over. Three concussions in one year, and one of them was really ugly. I don't think that you should be giving him his helmet back at all. I think he needs to be out of football, doing something else with his life, because that second concussion, or they want to say it was the first one, but I believe we all believe that because he collapsed, he broke down on the field once, fell down on the field, and then said, "Oh, it was just my back." Well, we all know that 9 times out of 10, it was probably a concussion, because your back don't usually make you just drop to the ground. So he suffered that second concussion, which was an ugly concussion, and came back again, and on the comeback from the ugly concussion, he played a little bit. I guess he had some good play, but then turned around about 2 weeks ago, had another concussion 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I don't think he should be playing in the playoffs at all. But nevertheless, the Dolphins, they hung around, They got everything set up for Tua to make a comeback, I guess, you know, next this coming up weekend in playoff action. I think the Dolphins got who do the Dolphins have? Because Kansas City got the bye. So the Dolphins might be very well facing the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins might be facing the Buffalo Bills. And I believe the Dolphins have already defeated the Buffalo Bills with Tua Tagovailoa at the helm. Yeah, so it's some interesting stuff. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, they didn't make the playoffs because the Dolphins said no. The Miami Dolphins said no. They said, we're going to take that wild card playoff spot. We're going. You're not. Who else got told no to this weekend? Somebody else got told no to. Switching over to the NFC. The NFC, the teams that got told no was in the NFC was teams that got told no in the NFC playoff picture was who need? I'm just trying to think of who needed help off the top of my head, and who needed help? Well, I know the Saints. We didn't get in. That's for sure. But it was somebody else that needed some help, and they didn't get it. Somebody else in the NFC needed some help, and they didn't get it. But it'll come back to me. But there we go. It came back to me. Green Bay. The Green Bay, Seattle, and the Detroit Lions scenario. Let's talk about that in the NFC. And I can't wait till my man DC gets on here, my number one sports contributor, so he can talk about some of this too, you know, because he's definitely a professional armchair quarterback like myself. When it comes down to it, Geno Smith said no. Geno said no. Geno said no to the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions turned around and said no to Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers. Geno Smith pulled out a win in overtime yesterday. He pulled out a win, and he's going to have that wild card spot. He's going to have a wild card game against the San Francisco 49ers. The Eagles got the bye in the NFC. So the 49ers are going to host a playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know what Geno Smith is going to do up there, but one thing I know about the playoffs is that the playoffs is a whole new season. Everything you did in the regular season doesn't matter. That stuff goes out the window. It's a whole new season come playoffs. When that ball is kicked off for the playoffs, these are going to be two totally different teams. People have gotten healthy. People that came back from injuries, all kind of stuff. New schemes been put in place, all kind of different things, different scenarios. The trick plays come out, all kind of different scenarios. Special teams get better. All kind of things happen in the playoffs, people. So to sit back and say, oh, well, Brock Purdy with the 49ers, he's playing great ball. He's going to put Geno Smith out of there. Geno Smith got a lot of experience, people. Geno Smith was a better player at West Virginia than Brock Purdy was at Iowa State. Geno Smith got drafted higher than Brock Purdy did, who got drafted as Mr. Irrelevant. Brock Purdy is coming in playing good ball in his relief duties for Jimmy Garoppolo. No problem, we get it. But Geno Smith had a hell of a season too. He kind of fell off there a little bit as well. But while I got my man on here, DC, my number one sports contributor, coming into the show, I'm gonna let him chime in on what I was just saying. I'm gonna go from the NFC back to the AFC. But DC, before you come on the line, I'm gonna frame this up for you. I was just going over AFC teams that got said no to as far as advancing to the wild card round, and now I'm talking about the NFC teams that got said no to. Aaron Rodgers had an opportunity to go to the wild card round this weekend. But Geno Smith, Geno said no. Tell me why. Tell me how was Geno able to say no and shut the door on the Lions' chances with Dan Campbell and his motivational speech and everything like that? Dan Campbell was said no to by Geno Smith, and then Dan Campbell turned around and said, "Since we're not going, Aaron Rodgers, you're not going." So. Go ahead, start from there, DC, our number one contributor, our number one sports contributor, people, DC on the line from Maryland.
I'm glad you asked that question. I'll tell you that Seattle made culture changes just getting rid of Russell Wilson. So the reason why they were able to make it is because they had a change in culture. They bought in to Pete Carroll and his system. You know, they bought in. They have talent issues, right? Because all they got is Metcalf, and you can make questions. They got Lockett, but he's a little inconsistent, right? The culture, they bought into the coach. Dan Campbell, that's what he did in Detroit. They bought into Dan Campbell's system. They don't have the talent, right? But he bought in, they bought in, right? And that level of accountability is to be respected. And so that's the difference.
So how do you think that Aaron Rodgers is feeling this morning? Because he had a chance. I mean, I was already nervous, and I think I told you last week, I said that that was a losable game for Green Bay because I believe the Lions had already beat them one time in the regular season. So I was like, it's definitely a losable game. And Dan Campbell was like, you know, either we're going to the playoffs or Aaron Rodgers, them are not going. Meaning that he was hell-bent on, he wanted Aaron Rodgers to feel that pain of them getting knocked out. Because I think they found out right before the game, before they took the field, they already knew that they were out. Geno said no to them. And Dan Campbell was hell-bent on saying no to Aaron Rodgers. Was he justified in feeling that way?
Yeah. You know, the Green Bay Packers lost 5 straight during the season. They weren't getting in the playoffs. You know, that one game that they had against the Cowboys where they really looked good, they looked good in that game. But that was it. Aaron Rodgers did this to himself because he played around with his contract and didn't get Devontae Adams his money. Now, just imagine if he had let Devontae Adams get his money and Devontae stayed in Green Bay, how they would have did, right?
Different team.
Yeah, totally different team. But because he didn't want to do that, he played games with it. Devontae said, I love you, but I got to go, man. I got to get my check. And Devontae left. Right? And Devontae Adams is no money-hungry guy. Like, he's no – because remember, he went to play with Derek Carr, the guy he went to college with. They was roommates in college, right? So his argument was, if I can't stay with Aaron Rodgers, then which you could agree, I think it's kind of a consensus Aaron Rodgers will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So it's like, well, if I can't stay with a first ballot Hall of Famer, I'll at least go play with my college roommate and get the money I'm looking for. So I'm saying that, you know, Devontae Adams wanted to stay in Green Bay. He talked about it, you know. So Aaron Rodgers did it to himself, right?
Switching over to the AFC.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Finish that thought.
Well, also looking at the culture of that team, you know, they don't really have like an ownership by committee in Green Bay. They don't really have GM that comes out and talk, right? Like they're kind of set up. It's like an ownership group in Green Bay. So you know, you got a lot of opinions there, a lot of little people pulling the strings. And so, you know, why are you shocked that, you know, you talk about two organizations that are better than Green Bay, Seattle and Detroit, right? And you say Detroit's organization. Yeah. How many years did you see the old lady in the stands watching the game because it's, you know, it's owned by the was it the Ford family or whatever?
That's Mark the Ford Firestone.
Right. Yeah, right. The Firestone family, right? You see them. The Ford Firestone. Right. That's my point. Right. You see them in the stands, and you know they go with one player. They support the one player. You know, look how many years they stuck with Matthew Stafford, right?
And Megatron.
Yep, the Megatron, Barry Sanders, you name it, right? So they're not a bad franchise. They just don't win, right? But they still got a nice culture, right? So, yeah.
going over to Mike Tomlin in the AFC, somebody said no to him, which was the Miami Dolphins. Not Tua Tagovailoa, but some scrub came in, and well, I don't want to call him a scrub. He's a professional football player. He the backup, the third-string backup came in, and he took the Dolphins into the playoffs, which slammed the door on the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin, and left Mike Tomlin with just saying that, well, at least we had a winning season. But I'm just like, is a 9-1 is a 9-8 season something that you want to hang your hat on as a winning season, one game above 500? I know Mike is better than that, but talk about the Dolphins slamming the door on him, and then the New England Patriots didn't do him any favors by letting having two special team snafus. Number 20 for the Buffalo Bills ran back kickoff returns, setting a record in a single game. So I'm just sitting there looking at this, like, everything was set up for Aaron Rodgers. He gets bumped. Everything was set up for Mike Tomlin. He gets bumped. Why did Mike Tomlin get bumped, and does he need to be hanging his hat on a 9-8 season? Go ahead.
So, to the ownership group, he should be hanging his hat on a 9-8 season, only because they went 4-0 the last month of the season, right? They went undefeated in the last month of the season. However, and you could argue that they won six of their last seven games, so you know they had a strong second half. However, he did it to himself because he was noncommittal about his quarterback going into the season. The reason why Pittsburgh did not make the playoffs is because, remember, they were debating on whether they were going to go with Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. And they tried Trubisky, and Trubisky is a bum. He's just good enough, right? To quote Shannon Sharp, he's just good enough. He's just good enough to get you fired and him cut, right? And that's exactly what Mitch Trubisky is. He's just good enough. And so Mike Tomlin didn't make the playoffs because he went into the regular season with a quarterback that was just good enough. And he realized he wasn't good enough, but too little too late. When he went to Kenny Pickett, they went on a roll. Again, they won six of their last seven games. The only game they lost in that seven-game stretch was actually to the Ravens. And if you go back, that game Mitch Trubisky started and got – I mean, Kenny Pickett started the game, got injured, and they had to bring in Trubisky, and he gave the game to the Ravens. He threw three picks in that game to the Ravens. So my point is that Kenny Pickett was their guy. If Mike Tomlin had committed to Kenny Pickett in the beginning, they would have made the playoffs.
Baltimore Ravens got thumped by the Bengal Cats. You guys obviously dropped all the way down to the wild card round. You'll be going on the road playing. Not the Bills. I forgot who y'all playing, but go ahead and talk about y'all chances. Are y'all getting out of this first week?
So I'll tell you, I watched that game, and it was funny. I watched that game without emotion. Normally, as a fan, when you watch a game, you have emotion. You know, it's go team, go, go team, go. I watched that game with the intent of having a critical eye to see what the team was doing. And what I saw was that the offensive coordinator is a problem. He just is. Even the announcer in the game was questioning play calling and strategy at different phases of the game. And so the Ravens actually lost that game because of their weaknesses, which is wide receivers and the play calling by the offensive coordinator. The defense actually shut Cincinnati down. Cincinnati scored on the four turnovers the Ravens had. And the Ravens' four turnovers and the weakness of their wide receivers was the reason they lost that game. And the play calling. They had opportunities to still win that game. The defense kept the Ravens in that game throughout the entire game. That's why Cincinnati played their starters throughout the game. Cincinnati came with the intention of blowing the Ravens out early and after maybe the first or second quarter and then sitting down relaxing, and they could not do that. They had to play all. They had to play all 60 minutes. It was close all 60 minutes until the last like 4 minutes left in the game.
If you guys won this weekend, what would that have changed for you guys if y'all had won that game?
We would have been the fifth seed instead of the sixth. That was it.
Y'all would have got one game at home?
No, we would have been the fifth seed. We would have played Jacksonville in the first round instead of Cincinnati.
Man. You know, today is a holiday. Happy holiday. Happy Black Monday. I always say this is my NFL holiday, Black Monday. You know what happens on Black Monday. I think I got some information on social media that Lovie Smith was being bid farewell, is relieved of his duties in Houston. If that's true, I don't know if you know if that's true or not. I haven't confirmed it. But if that is true, do you think it's justified?
No. No, it is true. It is true. Lovie Smith was relieved, and he was, in fact, fired within hours of the game ending. But
wow.
No, I do not believe that it was a justified firing. You know, the Houston Texans as an organization isn't very good. It's clear. And, you know, you have to argue who would want to take that job hiring coaches. They've had four coaches in four seasons. So you're saying their last four hires of head coaches, they fired within 1 year, right? So you're bringing in a head coach that's got a team he didn't draft. You're expecting him to work miracles with a bunch of retread and average players. And you are upset when he doesn't. Now, that's on one end. On the other end, I read reports that said that Lovie Smith ran a toxic environment, that the captain of the team requested a trade because of Lovie Smith's running of the organization. So now that adds a wrinkle. I understand the perception that, you know, you're looking bad and here you go hiring these Black coaches for 1 year and then firing them. However, I heard reports that was a little different. Yeah, they did. But I heard reports that were a little different. And you can make some arguments as to why. For example, they got O.J. Howard as a tight end on their team. Week one of the season, O.J. Howard caught two touchdown passes, and they won week one. And O.J. Howard practically didn't hit the field for the rest of the season. Now, everybody know O.J. Howard's a good tight end, right? But yet, he don't hit the field for practically the rest of the season. He didn't get a lot of snaps.
Why?
Right. That's the question. Why?
But then that's on the general manager to call down, and call down to the locker room and say, put him in. Now.
So that's that.
You know,
right,
the general manager
so
can do that, right?
Well, that's the thing. The argument becomes, what kind of organization are you running, right? Like, you know, as you look at the Texans, they essentially lost 9 games straight. They lost 9 games straight at one point.
But they was in some of them games.
They were. They were. But they lost 9 games straight. So you have to ask yourself, when you're losing 9 games straight, we need to reexamine everything. So if I got a veteran tight end that's a great player, well, a very good player, I wouldn't say he's great. Why is he not playing? Right?
But how do you question a guy that's been to the Super Bowl?
Right, and Brandon Cooks, who's their star wide receiver, was the captain of the team, and he was complaining. Lovie Smith was threatening to take his captaincy from him, and then Brandon Cooks went to the ownership and said, trade me. I want out of here. So now if you're a bad, again, you're head coach, the captain of your team's like, coach, what are we doing? We're losing 9 straight. You want to make some changes. You don't make any changes, right? O.J. Howard went from starting the season as your tight end to being fourth on the depth chart. Right?
Wow.
So what are you doing? Right? What are you doing?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard when you got a guy that's been to the Super Bowl, just like a lot of people question the hiring of Mike McCarthy. Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to segue into them. But just like with the hiring of Mike McCarthy, people's like, what are you doing? Jerry Jones, what are you doing? Stephen Jones, what are you doing? They understood that this man has been to the Super Bowl two times. This man has had Aaron Rodgers. This man knows how to deal with difficult personalities like an Aaron Rodgers, and then now we got an easygoing guy like that. So I understood the hiring. Now it's all came to fruition, and he's got him going to the playoffs. Now, with that being said, going into the Dallas Cowboys, they look like garbage yesterday. Tom Brady versus Dak Prescott next Monday. Who's coming out of that game, and why?
I still say Dallas is going to win. Dallas is a better team, although Brady's the better quarterback. Dallas believe that they're better than they are, and that's why they struggle. But I believe that they, because they are the better team, they will beat Tampa Bay next week on Monday night. What happened to the Cowboys? They looked past the Redskins, the Commanders. They looked past the Commanders, and they were thinking about the number one seed and what that would mean and who would lose and all that. They looked past this team, and they came out, and they weren't ready. And Dak just honestly had a horrible game. I watched a couple of his passes. He dropped back. He threw behind the receivers. He, you know, guys were open in the flat, and the ball was bouncing at their feet. Like, he had a horrible game, you know. They could have recovered by running the ball more. They didn't run the ball more. You know, they didn't run Pollard and Zeke. They didn't run them. And so that's where you have to question some of their moves with the play calling, but they're going to win. I see them beating Tampa Bay.
Jalen Hurts defeated with the Eagles defeated the New York Giants. And I'm going to tell you something, I was kind of thrown off. I'm like, how the hell are the Giants still in the playoffs? You know, it's just like, it seems like they quietly done it. And am I correct? Do you feel the same way? I mean, I forgot that they was even in the picture.
You know why? It's their conference record. The Giants just had a good conference record, and that's in the end what got them in. And, you know, I mean, winning nine games is obviously significant, but in the end, you know, it was their conference record that pushed them over. The Giants actually, well, it's funny because they were four. You say, well, their conference record, are you sure? They were 4-7-1 in their conference, but outside of Detroit and Tampa Bay, they had a good record in their conference. They won the games in their division they needed to win. The Giants, you know, and so with that being said, that's what got them in, right? Just winning the right games. But you know what's funny? They're not going to stick around. They're limited offensively. Saquon Barkley is good. He had a great season. But they're limited offensively. Their problem is at wide receiver. Darius Slayton is just not good enough. He's athletic, but he's just not a good enough receiver. Richie James looks better as a wide receiver for them. I see them giving Saquon some money. Well, they gave Saquon some money. I see them keeping him. I see them letting the quarterback go, though. I would not be shocked if the Giants try to go after Lamar Jackson. And they need a wide receiver other than Richie James. Darius Slayton's gone. They need a big body wide receiver, too. Defense, they're solid.
Lamar Jackson is not going to be relieved of his duties in Baltimore. I'm going to tell you why, just since you said that. Jim Harbaugh, I think he looks like Ed Lamar Jackson, like a son or at least a nephew. He's like, he's family. He's not going. That's my quarterback. I mean, if not him, then who? So I'll let you speak to that before I go off into predictions for the whole conferences. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with you on that. I think because he got rid of Flacco for Lamar, I think Harbaugh is kind of stuck with Lamar, right? Unless he wins a ring with Lamar, he would look kind of bad if he doesn't stick with him, right? The 1 year Lamar was healthy, he wins the MVP. Harbaugh's looking great. Because the argument is why you get rid of Flacco for him if you're not going to stick with him, right? So, yeah, I can see that. But at the same token, Lamar can play himself out of a deal, and I think that's, in the end, what he's going to do, you know.
He's gonna play ball this off season. He's gonna go ahead. I believe him and his mom is gonna go ahead and say, okay, what's the offer? Go ahead, franchise tag me or whatever. I think they're gonna pull a Kirk Cousins. Just go ahead, franchise tag me, and we'll just do it. I guess franchise tagging means you just do like a year to year type of thing. If I'm understanding it correctly, I think that he's gonna be willing to do that.
It'll be a 1 year deal, and then. And then he will he'll have the top
renegotiate
top 1% salary of the average position dollars at his position for that 1 year, and so he'll be like Kirk Cousins was for a few seasons where he had the top salary. He was making $40 million a year, and even though he was on a 1 year deal. And that's what Lamar will have.
And y'all only be stuck paying him that for one. Y'all only be stuck paying him that for 1 year, and y'all can maybe trade him the next year. He can decide to go the next year, but it's like you're not gonna be locked in over the cap for that amount of money. You're paying him top dollar for 5 or 6 years. It'll only just be 1 year. You're gonna get that for this year, and then next year we'll sit back and we'll revisit it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
I agree.
Playoff pitcher. Who's the sleeper in both conferences? Who's the sleeper and why?
All right. You're gonna think I'm gonna say in the AFC Baltimore, but I am not. For one reason, and that is the offensive coordinator. So I will not say Baltimore. But what I will say in the AFC is Jacksonville. Jacksonville is the sleeper in the AFC. And in the NFC, it is the 49ers that is the sleeper.
The 49ers? How can they be a sleeper? They've been balling the whole time.
Brock Purdy. You're going to say, how is it? Right, you're right. Your argument is, how is a two-seed a sleeper? But because Brock Purdy. Like, in theory, you would say the Vikings would be a better team, a more complete team, which they are. Tampa Bay has Tom Brady. But it's 49ers. Geno Smith. You're right about Geno. I heard you as I was coming on. Yeah, but Seattle's not going to get out of the first round. The Giants won't get out of the first round. The Cowboys, while they're a great team, individually talented, they can't put it together. The Eagles aren't a sleeper because they're number one seed. They ran a table almost, right? So it has to be the 49ers as your sleeper because they have –
That's
Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback. That's what?
Right. I got to chime in because some breaking news just came across the monitor. what the Cardinals justified in firing Cliff Kingsbury after four seasons, and he is technically the only person that can control Kyler Murray or could communicate the right way with Kyler Murray, I would say. He has that relationship with Kyler Murray. Now they just let him go. What does this look like moving forward for Kyler Murray? And, again, were they justified in letting go Cliff Kingsbury? This is breaking news coming across the monitor on this NFL holiday, Black Monday. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I think it was a smart move to let Cliff Kingsbury go because if you are truly talented, just the loss of one player would not have had them have the record that they had. I mean, Arizona was flat horrible this season, and it could not have been just because of Kyler Murray. They were 4-13, and I'll use the Ravens as an example. Lamar didn't play in five games, and we were 2-3 in those five games. Right? So if you're a good team, one player might have you with a losing record, but you're not going to have that tremendous of a drop-off. 4-13, they finished with a record worse than the Rams. Now, if they were 7-9 or 7-10, you know, and then you say, well, Kyler Murray, then maybe.
Did Kyler Murray go to the front office and say, get him out of here?
No. Because he hitched this wagon to him. But remember, let's go back. Kyler Murray had a contract where they said, you got to have mandatory study hour on the playbook in your contract. If I got a right in your contract to order you to study, that tells me that you're not all in. You're not all in. Right, you don't really want to win a Super Bowl. If you really wanted to win a Super Bowl, and here I am paying you millions, you telling me you wouldn't study film, you wouldn't work out on your own, you wouldn't watch game tape, go over the playbook, go with the coordinator,
The bigger question is, why would somebody have to tell me that as a professional athlete, that's an alpha dog in society, why would somebody have to tell me that?
Yeah, that is an even better question. So that tells you right there. That tells you right there, I mean, that you're right. So Cliff Kingsbury was tied to Kyler Murray and he didn't make no changes. And they ended up losing like eight straight before the season was over.
It's almost like you told me a while back that, you know, you had went to law school, right? You got your law degree, but you didn't take the bar exam. It's almost like you showing up to court saying, hey man, I don't want to be required to study the case, but I'm a gamer. When I show up to court, I just know how to perform well in court. I don't really need to study the case.
Right. I don't need to review the case because I already know what to do when we walk in the courtroom. Right. And it's the same way. Yeah.
Oh God.
You know.
Going back to the AFC pitcher, who's the sleeper there and who's coming out?
All right. Jacksonville's a sleeper. But I'm gonna contradict myself when you ask me my predictions. But Jacksonville's a sleeper. All right, and the AFC. All right, and then the NFC, the 49ers, is a sleeper. All right, those are my two sleepers. All right. Who do I see winning the first round of the AFC predictions? Here we go. Against Buffalo and Miami, I see Buffalo winning. Not even close.
They're going to have two tackles back, though. They're going to have two attack of a lower back, and they already beat them. They already beat the Bills.
Won't matter. Buffalo is going to win because they're at home. It won't matter. Against Baltimore and Cincinnati, believe it or not, I got Baltimore only if Lamar Jackson plays. If Lamar Jackson does not play, it is Cincinnati by 2 touchdowns.
Y'all got to play them again?
Yeah, we're the 3-6 matchup.
I hate when that happens, man.
Oh, I'm excited about it. And the only reason why I put the Ravens with Lamar is not the – you would argue, why not with Tyler Huntley? Only because Tyler Huntley, I question his progression on his throws. Otherwise, because the tension in that game was building. Cincinnati was mocking the Ravens. They were clowning them. There was a fight on the sidelines, on the Ravens sideline between Cincinnati player and the Ravens. There's a lot of tension. The divisional rival, it's a lot of tension. Baltimore's
going
to come back.
You guys not starting Lamar Jackson. Y'all not starting Lamar Jackson in this first game, I don't believe, because the possibility of you guys not going past the wild card round to the divisional, why would you even put Lamar back in there? Now, I can see y'all in the divisional going ahead and putting him in there. By that time, I think he might be ready to go. But why would you put him in this first playoff game?
Lamar needs to play for Lamar's contract. He needs to play for his contract. If he has any intention of getting max money and open himself up as a free agent, he's got to play. A physical will not be enough for somebody to give you 10 years, $500 million with $250 million guaranteed. No way. No. Lamar, you figure Patrick Mahomes gets 10 year, $450 million with $180 million guaranteed. And you, as Lamar, you want to get almost double that for guaranteed salary? And all you did was win an MVP? You never won a title? And 5 years in the league, you've only been healthy 2 of the 5? The first season being the season that you backed up Joe Flacco, the second season being your one MVP season? The other 3 seasons, you were injured at some point? No way. No way does somebody do that, right? No way.
So you say he's playing.
So
he's in.
He's got to play for him. It's not even about the team at this point. It's about him, right? Because like you said, if he doesn't go out there and play, then he's forced to take whatever offer the team gives him,
right?
Or just sit back and do the franchise tag and then try to gamble again next year. But you already see what gambling on your health can do in a violent sport such as football. What if Lamar does, let's say he doesn't play, and the regular the preseason starts next year and the Ravens franchise tag him, and week two of the playoff of the preseason, he gets injured, torn ACL, and now he's out for the season. What do you do then? Right? Because when he comes back, he'll be 27. And, again, he would only have 2 healthy seasons in his entire 7-year NFL career at that point. 1 year was MVP. The other year was he was backing up Joe Flacco as a rookie. But that's it. 5 out of his 7 seasons would have been injured. Right? You're going to get that guy a 10-year, $250 million guaranteed contract then? No way. Right.
Chargers in Jacksonville. You said Jacksonville's a sleeper over there in AFC. Chargers, are the Chargers winning that game? Herbert against my guy. Forgot his name. Having a brain spasm right now. You know what I'm talking about.
Trevor Lawrence. So here's the thing. I actually think the Chargers will win the game. However, if Jacksonville squeaked past the Chargers, Jacksonville can challenge. Right. That's what I'm saying. If the Chargers beat Jacksonville, they have a chance to go forward and do some damage in the playoffs. But if Jacksonville get by the Chargers, they're going to be a sleeper. All right? They're going to be a sleeper. Now, so the Chargers have the best talent, but they're stupid. Let me tell you, Justin Herbert was not even supposed to play not one single down in that game yesterday. The argument was if the Ravens lost to Cincinnati, and that means the Chargers clinched the 5 seed, even have Justin Herbert take the field. A guy that you know coming off a rib injury that really just starting to come around from the ribs.
Consistency.
Right.
Consistency.
You got
because
well, okay,
has,
okay,
has,
okay, 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 okay. All right, let's ride with that argument. So you have them play the first series, right? Your running back, Keenan Allen, you have them all play the first series just to get some game action, and then you set them down. All your players, right? Because Palmer, all them other guys are good. Those brothers can ball. You would be okay with them in the game, right? Man, what did he do? He had Justin Herbert and them guys and boys out there all game for a meaningless game. Now, yes, I lived in San Diego. I know the rivalry with the Chargers and the Raiders and the Chargers and the Broncos. I understand the rivalry. But you're in the playoffs. If the goal is to win the Super Bowl, not just win your rivalry game. So even if you did say, okay, let's just play them the first series. Chargers march down the field, score the touchdown. Okay, then set them all down. And as a result of not doing that, didn't Mike Williams get carted off the field?
He got carted off. Then on top of that, another stupid decision. Why would you leave Joey Bosa in there? Why was he even playing at all? Now that particular one person, don't even put him in. He's been dealing with a groin injury. But you put him out there anyway. Now he's hurt again.
See what I mean? That's what I'm saying by the Chargers being stupid. So I'm saying that do they have the talent? Absolutely. Right? Do you guys have the talent to be the sleepers and to make a difference? Without question. But your team is ran by idiots.
Who else is getting fired today before I get off into your New York Knicks? But, they've been on a little bit of a win streak, I think, but we'll get off into that in a minute. But who else is getting fired for Black Monday on this great holiday today, NFL holiday? Who else is getting fired today in your predictions? Just go down some
Raiders.
Teams. Who's going home?
The Raiders. Raiders quarterback's going home. I highly believe that.
McDaniel is done.
Yeah, I see him as going home. And if the organization was actually ran correctly, I would say Rivera in Washington. However, because the organization's got problems, I have a feeling that Rivera's going to squeak by, right? Because the ownership in Washington is horrible, right? With the sexual harassment amongst the staff and the office and with all the stuff they got going on, right? The owner trying to investigate the commissioner to get dirt on them, right? Like, oh, like they got essentially like federal probes in that in that organization. So in some ways, Ron Rivera, while he's an idiot on coaching, because, again, he was a great player. He played for the Bears. I mean, he was a linebacker on the 85 Bears team and all that, you know, playing next to Mike Singletary and all that. But he's an idiot as a head coach, right? But I actually see him surviving, but only because of the ownership. But if the ownership woke up and decided to be legitimate owners, Ron Rivera should go. That mistake about starting Carson Wentz over Heineke, and that led to the Redskins, not the Commanders, not making the playoffs. Yeah.
What about Robert Saleh in New York?
No, I think he's safe because clearly the issue with them was the quarterback, but he made the right changes, and they were in it all the way up to the next to the last game. You know, Mike White showed the has some potential, but he got injured. And then, you know, Flacco was the common force in that locker room. He got them guys motivated to play. He used the young athletes they had, Carter and them boys. I see Robert Saleh sticking around.
There's one more I want to ask you about before I get up into the NBA. One more I wanted to ask you about was the coach for I'll stay at home. The coach for the Saints. Is he sticking around or is he going home?
You know, that's actually a good question. Because to be quite honest, you could make the argument that he should go. Because he couldn't figure out what to do at quarterback. And that turned out to be you guys' Achilles heel, right? Your quarterback, turned out to be your problem. So, yeah, I could see that, right? I could see him being let go. Dennis Allen. I could see that. I can see that.
Are they gonna let Harbaugh go if y'all didn't make the playoffs? Is Harbaugh out of there?
No, I think the only way Harbaugh goes is if he doesn't want to fire the offensive coordinator. I think he's gonna be. I think unless the Ravens go to the AFC Championship game, seriously. Let's pretend Lamar comes back. They squeak by Cincinnati. They squeak by, let's say, the Chargers because they upset some other team, right? Buffalo or Kansas City, something like that. You know, and they get to the divisional round, the AFC Championship game, I'm sorry, and then the Ravens lose. I think that's the only way the offensive coordinator stays, right? What he does in the playoffs could save his career. Other than that, if they don't get the AFC Championship, I don't see him. So John Harbaugh, if he refuses to fire the offensive coordinator, I see them both being fired. And that's the general consensus here in Baltimore. It's like, okay, Harbaugh, if you don't want to let that guy go because y'all friends, then you both go. That's the general consensus. All the fans are talking about it on the calling on the radio shows and social media posting and tweeting the team. That's it. You either let them go or you both go. I can see Dennis Allen leaving though out of the Saints. I mean, you figure – he's been a head coach for 53 games and he's lost 38 of them. Right. So you're not even 500.
I got you. Segwaying over to the NBA so I can let you get up out of here in a minute. Knicks got the Bucks today at 4:30. Who's winning that
we
game?
We do.
Why do you guys win?
We do. So
it's a big game.
It is. Do I see us winning the game? It's plausible. We are at home. So it is plausible that we could win. If we did, we would win. It would be our fifth straight win. I'm a little concerned though, because Milwaukee has been tough. They've been tough and they're coming off a big loss against Charlotte. They lost to Charlotte. They almost got, you could argue they got blown out by Charlotte. So do I see us winning in the short term? I say, yeah. Why? Chris Middleton. I think Chris Middleton being injured would be the big deal. I mean, you know, is the Greek Freak going to go off and possibly get 15 and 8 in the Garden? Sure. Right? I could see him getting 50 points on the Knicks. But just him. I think Serge Ibaka and Chris Middleton being injured is or being out is going to be significant.
Lakers, I think they came up big. I've got my scores in front of me. I believe they came up big this weekend. You see them still having an opportunity to probably get in the play-in tournament? Just the play-in tournament,
no.
Speaking of.
No, I don't.
They got the Nuggets. They got the Nuggets today. They got Jokic today at 6 p.m.
Yep.
They got Jokic today.
And it'll be another loss. It'll be another loss. Bron will put up good numbers, but it'll be another loss. I just as the Lakers are currently constructed, I just don't see them doing better as they are currently constructed. They, again, individual talent, yeah, but I don't see it. Do you believe that, you know, again, you're right. If the playoffs started right now, they would not even be in the top 10. But arguably, who would you put in? Who would you take out to put the Lakers in? Let me run down the top 10 teams in the Western Conference in order. The Nuggets, who's number one. Memphis, who's number two. Kings, number three. Dallas with Luka, number four. Sacramento Kings, who've been playing pretty well. And number five, the Clippers, playing 500 ball, but they're the sixth seed in the West. Number seven, Golden State. Eight, Phoenix. Now, mind you, Phoenix is number eight without Devin Booker. Imagine old babyface Booker back in the lineup. Phoenix is number eight. Minnesota is number nine. The Portland Trailblazers is 10, and the Lakers is 11. And you tell me, who would you pull out of the top 10 to put the Lakers in? Who would you say would fall out of that?
It's hard to say any of them.
That's right. That's my point, right? Again, Phoenix is number eight without babyface Booker. I'm talking about Devin Booker. Now, you bring Devin Booker back, go move up in the standings and maybe drop Sacramento down, but Sacramento's nice too, right?
Well, they just got beat by the Lakers the other night, though.
Yeah, yeah. But over the rest of the season, is that going to happen every night? Because Sacramento's just young, but they're definitely talented.
Yeah, they probably can beat them in the series. They probably can beat them in the series.
And then with AD, so if AD come back and Westbrook get hurt, Westbrook come back and then LeBron go down, groin, hamstring, right? Or he's got to stop resting every
hurt,
other game.
Yeah, Westbrook never gets hurt though. He's not an injury prone guy. He's always a starter.
That's true.
But the other
two. Right. So AD comes back from injury, and then LeBron goes out with a groin or a hamstring, right?
Right.
And then he starts going on his every other game resting scenario. So. How do they get in? With him, he's averaging like 30 points. LeBron is killing it, right? And they're still not winning.
Can't do it by itself. It's a team sport.
Right, and Lonnie Walker's out, who's arguably like the second best scorer, right? And he's been out. Right.
When do the NBA do most of their firing? Is it like right before the All-Star break, right after the All-Star break, or just traditionally in the off-season only?
Well, usually in the off-season, every now and again you'll see a player, coach leave during the season, but usually in the off-season. The only person that they've been talking about is on the hook is the coach for Atlanta, the brother that coaches Atlanta.
Because
he's been arguing with Trae Young. He's the only guy on the fence. The problem with that is you know, the argument is you get rid of Nate because, you know, it's hard to fire, you know, players. You fire the coach. But Trae Young's skill set and leadership is being questioned. The playoffs started right now. Atlanta began. They beat a 10th seed, but their skill set, his skill set's being questioned. His leadership's being questioned, not his skill set. So they're not looking good in that end. All right, but Darvin Ham ain't going nowhere.
Well, Ham is, like I said, he's arguably done the best job of managing a big three unit. And one of your big three are coming off the bench. He's not even starting and about to get the sixth man of the year. And I wanted to say on social media, take that tag off of Westbrook about being the sixth man of the year, because I'm like, dude, this is an MVP. You can't even you can't even look at him like a sixth man, because I think it's kind of unfair to anybody behind him. Whoever's directly behind him deserves that award, because Westbrook is a starter. It's just the way, like you said, the way the team is constructed. He has to come off the bench, so he's not a true sixth man. Am I looking at this wrong?
Yeah, no, I can see your argument there. I can see it. I wouldn't run from that, right? I wouldn't run from that. But the thing is that's the argument for most six men. Most six men, the perception is you're good enough to be a starter. It's just that for our chemistry for this team, you're the first guy off the bench, right? So kind of why they started honoring the six man is kind of like you're the valuable team player guy that's, you know, supporting chemistry, et cetera. So I can see that.
Well,
but
I see what you're saying. But I see what you're saying. But follow me here for a second. Westbrook was brought in as a big three. That's what I'm saying. He was brought in. He was never like, we're going to bring in Jamal Crawford, put him on our team. We know he's just that guy that comes off the bench with that energy. That's not what Russell Westbrook was brought in for. He was brought in to be on the court at the same time with the other two. It didn't work. It wasn't working out right, like you say, the way it's constructed. So he was forced to be in that role. He never wanted to come off the bench. If you could take him off the bench today, which you probably has been off the bench because AD been out. I don't know how they're doing it for the most part, but whatever. The point I'm making is that he wasn't brought in for that role. He just kind of fell into the role.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you could argue that all the other point guards aren't necessarily better point guards than Russell Westbrook, right? Like, no one would say that Dennis Schroeder and Patrick Beverley are better point guards than Russell Westbrook, right? Particularly not at the prime of all of their careers. I mean, if you just took them all at the prime of their career, no one would say Patrick Beverley or Dennis Schroeder is a better point guard than Russell Westbrook. So I would agree with that statement.
Yeah, Patrick Beverley started his career out in Istanbul or somewhere like that, Turkey or somewhere, Greece, not to knock it. I mean, he's well-traveled. He did what he had to do, sort of like a P.J. Tucker type of guy, Israel and all this stuff. These guys had to go over and high level overseas, and then they made their way. But Westbrook, UCLA, Westbrook and Durant, Oklahoma City, come on, man. They don't even – their resume really don't stack up, to be honest. Yeah, so anyway, man, I want to thank you for being on the show, man. Thanks for calling in today, man, just breaking down everything to us. Last thoughts on your Baltimore Ravens. What's the prediction? What's the score? How do y'all get it done against Cincinnati, against Joe Cool? How do you get it done against him?
I think it boils down to this, and this is crazy to think, but I think Lamar plays, we squeak by. Lamar does not play, we get dusted, and we go home.
It's not official that he's playing yet.
No, there hasn't been no conversation. There's been talk of the hopes is that he plays and that they're. They've been talking about he's going to get out there, but to be honest, that's what it is. It's he plays, we got a chance to squeak by. He does not, we go home, and we be on the couch with everybody else, we're done. So we'll have, I'll come back. I'll be out there next week for a conference. But, if Lamar plays, we got a chance. If he doesn't, we're done.
Were you going to be at the Bay Area?
No, I'm going to be at the Harris Casino for a conference. What's that, just north of Escondido, somewhere around there?
No, okay, you've been listening to town. Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
man. Putting on your general manager's hat. Speaking of what you just said about Lamar Jackson, would it be something that the front office might say, "Well, just don't start Lamar Jackson at all"? because we want to put him into a situation where he signs what we want them to sign, what we want him to sign. We're not even putting him on the field.
And I'm glad you bring it up, because it makes complete sense, and that's part of the talk. Like, a lot of fans believe that it's in Lamar's best interest to not play so that he doesn't further exacerbate his injury or get hurt worse and mess up his future money. But I'm saying, because he's gambling on himself with this do-or-die type of deal, that he owes it to go out there and play, not for the team, but to prove he's healthy so he can get back the leverage, right? Like, and think about it. Lamar go out there, score 5 touchdowns. The Ravens beat Cincinnati by 2 touchdowns and go to the second round. Now he proves I'm worth the money, right? He doesn't go out there. The offense wasn't that great with him in the game anyway, right? So if he doesn't go out there, now the Ravens are like, well, we don't have to keep you. We can let you walk, or we can sign and trade you, and we can draft your replacement out of college, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to change the whole offensive system. They can just go out and get another guy that's just like them.
That's true, because there's a couple of them. I see y'all getting C.J. Stroud. I mean, I keep forgetting. I don't know how y'all trades are set up, because, you know, you give up this trade, this pick, that pick. So it'd probably be hard to even reach up and get a Stroud unless you say we're going to give, let's say, the New York Jets. They want Stroud. You say we're going to give you Lamar Jackson. We'll give you Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And we're gonna take your pick. We're gonna give you Lamar Jackson. We're gonna take C.J. Stroud with your pick, and then give you 2 more first round picks or whatever. Is that a scenario?
It is. It's a very hot scenario, right? Because Lamar is an awesome trade candidate, and that's what I'm saying. What would the New York Jets fan base feel like if they got Lamar? Right? And they barely missed the playoffs right now, and they got Lamar, right? They would feel like, we're in, right? Win a chicken dinner, we're in. So,
and you got
absolutely. And you got a vet, right? See? So
That makes sense. And then, you know, Flacco and Lamar them backed each other up before. I mean, I'm quite sure they get rid of Flacco,
right,
but I'm just saying.
That's right. You're right. See? So Lamar is huge for trade bait. That's why I said, you know, either way, right, it's not exactly a scenario where he has all the leverage. And my argument is, if he wants to get back the leverage, he's going to be forced to play. So if he doesn't play, he pretty much is putting himself. He's pretty much hurting himself. It's gonna affect his dollars.
Yeah, he's gonna have to. He's gonna have to sign whatever they ask him to sign. Last thought: what's the score? Not the score, but are the Knicks going in overtime tonight against the Bucks? Because they play a lot of overtime games, man. I don't know why y'all be in a lot of overtime games. Is that happening tonight, or y'all can y'all just pull out a win in regulation?
I can see us winning in regulation. You know, Milwaukee's a tough team offensively. Chris Middleton is a matchup problem. You know what you're getting with the Greek Freak and Bobby Portis. You know what you're getting with them. As everyone else, you know, Grayson Allen, it's all those guys that's the suspect guys. Again, they just got blown out last game, right? So they can be beat. The question is, you know, all right, so I do see us winning, but I don't see us going in the OT.
Okay. Well, you know, NBA is all about streaks. It ain't really so much, because y'all got so many games, 80-something games or 72 games, something like that. Y'all got so many games, it's like it's not so much about going undefeated in the NBA. It's about can you get on an 8-game streak, 8-10-game win streak? You know, that's when you know you're good. But anyway, man, I want to thank you for being on the show. I'm going to let you get up off here and get back to your day. I want to thank you for coming on. And we'll get you back after the playoffs, pitcher kickoff on Monday. We'll get you back on here next week and go from there.
Yeah. That'll be fun at the wild card weekend and see what happens.
Yeah. All right, man. I want to thank you again. All right. Have a good day. Yes, everybody, just tuning in. This is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. That was our number one sports contributor, D.C., out of Maryland, calling in, talking all things NFL, NBA, Baltimore Ravens, New York Knicks, calling in, talking all things NBA, NFL again. And our topic for today was NFL Week 18 action recap and playoff seeding. The host with the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks will go on the sports they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be NFL playoff seeding and predictions for this weekend, NCAA football, NCAA men's and women's basketball, and scores from NBA and NHL action. It is a holiday today, Black Monday, Black Monday NFL holiday, football holiday, and it's one of my favorite days of the football season, at least in the postseason. Because we had two major, you know, I just like the drama, the shaking up of the franchise when they let go a head coach. I mean, these coaches, they can make enough money, they can bounce back, get another job or whatever. So it ain't no big deal. But it's just the excitement of who making changes, who's gonna make changes at the top. So two teams made changes at the top. The Houston Texans made changes at the top. Lovie Smith is out. I'm quite sure Lovie will find another job somewhere else. And also this morning, Cliff Kingsbury is out with the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury, after four seasons, has been relieved of his duties at the helm with the Arizona Cardinals. So that master pupil relationship with him and Kyler Murray is done. The master pupil, you know, not to say Kyler Murray can't do well up under another coach. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they have a master pupil relationship, meaning that was his college coach. If I'm correct, I think Kyler Murray started off at Texas Tech, transferred to Oklahoma, I think. But even if that ain't true, I know they were together at Oklahoma, if I'm remembering right. If I'm incorrect, correct me at 515-602-9687. But the master pupil relationship with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray is done. At the same time, I want to give a big shout-out for J.J. Watt playing his last game for the Cardinals, playing his last NFL game at all yesterday. And I think he at least got one sack yesterday. But a big shout-out to J.J. Watt, a guy that was a solid force with the Houston Texans and a solid force for the Arizona Cardinals. And it's kind of funny that the two teams that have let go of their coaches were two teams that J.J. Watt played for. He's a longtime Houston Texan. Before and then while he was there, he was plagued by injury. Then he wound up getting traded or as a free agent. I think as a free agent, he just went to the Arizona Cardinals as a free agent, if I'm correct. But however he wound up being in Arizona, he just retired from football with the Arizona Cardinals. But both of these teams have let go of their head coaches. Is there something to that? I don't know. It's crazy. But, yeah, Lovie Smith is out. Cliff Kingsbury is out. I'm just waiting around to see who else is going to be out today. Who else is going to be out of the job market, out of a job today and going back into the job search market. But unfortunate for Lovie Smith because we really didn't have that many African-American coaches to begin with, maybe four around the league. I think Steve Wilks, and I think his job is up for grabs in Carolina. They just let go Lovie Smith. You got Mike Tomlin, who's going to be there forever because Pittsburgh don't fire their coaches, which is a good thing for us. At least we'll always have one African-American coach. Then we got who else? The Dolphins head coach is somewhat African-American, although he really doesn't look like it. But, you know, that's not uncommon. But we got the Dolphins. And then Robert Saleh, I don't know if we can say he's African-American. I think he's more maybe Israeli or something. Looks like, but, you know, I'm really not sure what Robert Saleh's nationality is, but I'm going to throw him in that mix of just minority hires, you know, whether he's African-American or not, but I'm going to throw him in the mix of minority hires, you know, but, you know, it's it's crazy how this whole thing is going with it, with this Rooney Rule and all this good stuff. And you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens though. Denver has a job open, and maybe Lovie Smith can get picked up there. Maybe he can go there and make some changes. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury can go to Denver and make some changes and work with Russell Westbrook, same type of quarterback as Kyler Murray. Who knows? Anyway, it's Black Monday, people. It's Black Monday. Before I close out the show, I want to give a big shout out to the FCS football champions of Division I, the SDU Jackrabbits, South Dakota University Jackrabbits. I want to give them a big shout out for defeating the North Dakota State Bison. I always like to cover my FCS playoff and championship team because a lot of these guys don't get a chance to make it to the NFL level because, you know, you're coming from the FCS versus the Power 5 FBS. I mean, they have a good amount that go, but not as many as, like, the Power 5 conferences. So I was upset that they didn't put the game on TV, yesterday. They put it on the app, ESPN Plus app, and I'm just like, come on, man. This is the Division I football championship, schools, you know, playoff, you know. Well, how do I say it? Yesterday was the FCS championship. Let me put it like that. Sorry about that, people, for jumbling that all up. But how do you not put the FCS championship on TV? Especially when you got a tough team like North Dakota State who actually steps up and plays big schools and actually competes well and sometimes win. Out of the three or four games that I've seen them play against a deep, you know, D1 Power 5 type of school, Power 5 conference, I think they're at least 2-1. I've seen them beat Iowa State Hawkeyes. I've seen them beat the Kentucky Wildcats, if I'm correct. If it wasn't Kentucky, I believe it was Kentucky, but it may have been Kansas, but I think it was Kentucky. That's an SEC school. And even if it was Kansas, it was at least a Big 12 school. But I've seen them win two of them games, and they only lost one that I've seen. That was this year to Arizona University, to the Arizona Wildcats in the Pac-10. Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever they are now. I think it's Pac-10 now. They're about to lose two more teams, so they'll probably be the Pac-8 in a minute, unless they bring some teams in like San Diego State or something. But anyway, back to North Dakota State. They have stepped up in at least one out of three contests. They've won two. They're 2-1, I believe, when they stepped up out of the FCS and played Power 5 conference schools. They're tough out. But they got defeated this weekend by the SDU Jackrabbits, South Dakota University Jackrabbits. They defeated North Dakota State Bisons in the FCS championship game for Division I football. So big shout-out to South Dakota University Jackrabbits. Big shout-out to you guys, and congratulations. Real quick, as far as spring football goes, I have a lot of spring football opportunities out there for the young men out there that's looking to attain film to work their way up to an NFL workout, where it'd be a three-day mini camp, two-week camp, or a full camp for the NFL. I have opportunities out there for you to basically play in the springtime for league, film leagues like the Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Fan Control Football League, Champions Indoor Football League. Those are my main four that I send people to. Then you got leagues up under that like the American West Football Conference, Arena Football Association, and then some other independents out there, you know, as well. But I try to service the higher level situations. Then you also have Hub Camp out there who's going to be doing a workout here in San Diego in February. That's another situation you can get off into at Hub on Twitter, at capital HUB on Twitter, and go there and get your numbers and everything recorded. So if a guy goes down in the USFL, they can share that data with the USFL team, and they can bring you in for a workout. At the same time, the Indoor Football League serves as the minor league. They have a partnership as the minor league for the XFL, so they'll be moving guys up and down between the XFL and the Indoor Football League. So that's an opportunity there for you to get seen and still make a XFL roster or a USFL roster. And if you get the film in the pro developmental football leagues, like I said, IFL, NAL, and fan control football, Champions Indoor Football League. You can move up to the XFL, the USFL, and then do good there. And by the time the season is over with the USFL or the XFL, you still have time to make a NFL summer camp roster. So it can happen. People, you just got to take the step, and you got to have know the right people, have the right relationships, and you can still make it. To work with me with Best Sports Management, with Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. Again, that's Best Sports Career Management in San Diego. I'm sorry, people. That's Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service. Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. I know that's a long title, but I do multiple things. I manage and advise, so that's why I named it that way. Capital B, capital E, capital S, capital T. At Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service in San Diego, California. That's my company. And you can find out more about me on Twitter at Ferran Sports. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S. That's at Ferran Sports altogether on Twitter. You can find out more about my services and how I work. But currently my prices are $1,200 for me to take your film and resume and put it on the right desk so you can have an opportunity this spring and then keep taking that film and your resume, moving it up to other levels so you can so we can get you as close as we can to a NFL camp opportunity. And as I move up, you move up. The relationship with me is not just for to get on the football field this spring or to get off into the NFL coming up in the fall. It's not just for that. It's also for when you get done playing and you'll have opportunities after your playing career. When you want to be in the administration for a team, or be coaching for a team, scouting for a team, I'm going to keep on building relationships with different entities. So as I move up, if you're in my network, you move up. You can do $1,200 up front and be totally vested with me, or you can put down $600 and then $600 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. You can do that, and then moving from that point, all you have to do is, like I said, you know, get your film, your resume to me, and as I move up, you move up now and in the future. If you spend money with me, I keep you all. I always try to do my best to keep you in the conversation, as long as you're keeping up with me on where you are in your sports career. So you can contact me after you get done playing and say, hey, Mr. Ferran, I see that you're now working for this franchise or that franchise. Is there any opportunities out there for me? And I'll keep you abreast on that. I'll let you know, hey, man, give me your resume. Let me see what you're doing. Give me your resume for your schooling and everything like that go, what you majored in, and I'll see if it's an opportunity that I can find in my organization to match you. So, again, this when you work with Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service, when you work with me, you're not just paying money for a opportunity to play right now this spring. You're also securing your future. As I move up to certain spots, I'll consider you. If you're in my network, I'm going to always consider the guys that's invested in me first. If you've invested in yourself by investing in me, I'm going to consider you first for opportunities as I come across them. That's just the way I work. I look out for my people that's in my network. I'm going to look out for my people, not people that's outside my network. I'm going to look out for people that's in my network first. So you always will get first deals working with me. But I know a lot of you guys, y'all young, and all y'all can see right now is I need that bag, the NFL bag. But I try to tell you guys, there's more than one way to make a bag in professional sports. Even if you don't make it to millionaire status, you might make it close to a millionaire status, $800,000 a year, $900,000 a year, $700,000 a year. That's still a lot of money as an executive. It's just you got to prove your worth. But you got to get behind the door. You got to get behind closed doors. And that's what I specialize in, getting myself behind closed doors, getting myself behind closed doors, because I've gotten myself behind closed doors in the National Football League 2 times, advocating on players' behalf. I've gotten myself behind the NFL closed door. So it can be done, people. It can be done. I've done the bottom. I've done the top. All I'm doing right now is filling in the middle. So if you can imagine a bologna sandwich, I've done the bottom slice of bread, the top slice of bread. All I'm doing now is putting the meat, cheese, and mayonnaise, and mustard in the middle. So all you guys got to do is invest in yourself, put down $600 to work with me, and then $600 due in 35 days. That's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. However, if you don't pay the other installment, I will have you start over from scratch with a fresh $600 and then another $600 due in 35 days, 30 days with a 5-day grace period because you missed the deadline on our agreement. So, again, that's why I recommend if my service is a total of $1,200, I recommend you come in with the total $1,200 to work with me, and then from that point we'll go from there. With that being said, I don't charge anyone anything that they can't make their money back from. You can make your money back in about, for $1,200, in certain leagues you can play 3 games. In other leagues you can play 6 games. That's only half a season. A quarter of a season, half a season, depending on what league you're in, and you can make that money back. I will never charge a guy something that he cannot make back in season. I will never charge you something that you cannot make back in season. So currently right now at the price that I'm charging, you can make your money back in season and still make some profit outside of that. I moved guys all the way up from the from pro developmental film leagues up to the USFL, up to the XFL, up to the CFL, up to Arena One when it was here. I had guys going to the AFL, Arena One with Albany Empire. About every couple of weeks, I was sending somebody out there to do a 3-day workout. They would call me and ask me to send a DB, send some defensive tackle, send some offensive lineman. I saw multiple guys out there, and they got that opportunity at the Arena One level, and they were thankful because they was able to go out there and see how the things look at the highest level of arena football. Okay? I've done this for guys. Guys have made it through my management to the CFL training camp. Guys have made it to XFL training camp. They've made it to USFL training camps. So, I mean, you know, I had two guys made. One guy made XFL Team 9 practice squad with the Houston Renegades, and I had one guy made the DC Defenders active roster before COVID-19 struck, and then, you know, they killed his opportunity the week he reported to the 53-man active roster. So my management style has gotten people, motivated people to do the right things, make the right moves, attend the right workouts, and get where they need to get to. I had 3 rookies last year in fan control football, one from JUCO, one from Division 3, and one from Division 2. Division 2, Division 3, JUCO. And they all did well, made the playoffs in fan control football, which is on the NBC platform. So their people was able to see them nationwide on the NBC platform twice a day on Saturdays. And I can do that again this year if you want to get in my system. So with that being said, this has been Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBSCW Best. Time on deck is 9:56 a.m. It is 60 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny in San Diego, California. Our topic today was NFL Week 18 action recap and playoff seeding. We talked about all that. We had our number one sports contributor, D.C. from Maryland, call in and shared his education and everything like that on all things NFL, all things NBA. So we had a good show today. I want to encourage everybody to get your flu shots, get your COVID-19 booster, keep your mask on in crowded spaces, and you keep a mask on you at all times in case you get into a situation where somebody is sick and coughing and sneezing because it is flu and cold season. I want to encourage you to be light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for peace around the world. Pray for this war in Ukraine to stop. Pray for the Ukrainian people that are being affected by this. And also pray for the Russian soldiers that don't want to be a part of this, killing their own people. They don't want to be a part of this and don't want to be drafted into this nonsense. So pray for peace around the world. Pray for all the people out there that are sick or going through something. Pray, but we want to keep a prayer out there for all the people that's sick and going through health issues, mental health issues, whatever the case may be. We want to keep a prayer wheel turning in our heart, and definitely the children that are sick. So I don't mean to preach to you, but I always just try to be light, not darkness. I try to be love on this show, and I'll try to put goodwill out there into the world. So anyway, with that being said, I'm done preaching. But like I said, keep a prayer wheel in your heart for your fellow man. Remember, there is only one race, just the human race. With that being said, this has been Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Have a great day. Set black, fade all.